Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning. May the Lord bless us here this morning as we speak of Him, God the Father, Jesus our Lord, and also our the Holy Spirit, that He may be present here this morning as we are a people that is saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, and that we are gathered here that the Holy Spirit will help us to further the kingdom on this earth. And so as we hear about the grace of God and the mercy that He has that gives us peace within our hearts, I pray that we have come peacefully this morning and we realize that we are many times tested. And that is something that I want to also talk about today as we have Preparation Sunday. What does it mean for preparing? What do we go through many times and things like that? So may we hear the message. For myself, I made probably in the same boat as anyone else many times. Friday night, we had friendship group, and I played a game, and the game was he held his ears shut, and I would just make it sound like that I was either saying something or yelling at him or whatever, and then when he took his hands away and asked him, so did you hear anything? And he says, yes. And maybe we smile but how is it with us sometimes, how do we sometimes react if we are somewhere and maybe our partner or somebody talks to us and we say, did you hear it? Yes, I heard something. But it didn't clarify or didn't clearly to me. So may the grace of God be with us here today as we hear the Word of God. Even if if I speak and things aren't right, then you can tell me later. And if I all of a sudden, if things does strike us with the Word of God, then let's also make that change in our heart. And so that is where we want to talk about preparation for communion, to get together and to have the communion with the remembering what Jesus did for us. So before we do that, go to song, let us just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy this morning again. And we thank you that we have a house that we can gather in. May you, Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, rebuke every evil spirit that is even present in this building and put a hedge of protection around us here, Lord, that we may worship together you, Father, in heaven through prayer, through word. Praise you and honor you with song. Lord, may you be honored as we do that. And may healing take place within our hearts here this morning, and also wherever else that you will gather or people will gather, that there will be healing. Then we know much of the evil spirit has been plaguing people by bodily sickness or even by spiritually. And Lord, we pray for healing. May it be here present, or may it be in the houses, or may it be in hospitals, wherever they are, Lord, that there will be a great healing will take place. And Lord, may you as give us the power of the Holy Spirit that we will humble ourselves, that we can also go and help those people that are in that kind of plague. And so, Lord, we pray for us here. Pray for those surrounding this building outside. Pray for the province of Manitoba and also for the Canada, especially also for our governments, Lord, we pray for. We pray for the Israel and the governments there as they are being bombarded by also physical bombs, or even they are doing someone else. We just pray for them, for the Palestinians there, the people that are being suffering. Lord, we pray that you would love them, that you would take care of them, that you would also draw them closer, that they could also have you as their Savior. And so, Jesus, we again thank you for the blood that you spilled on the cross, and ask just today again that you would be present here by the Holy Spirit, that we can worship the Father and you, and that we can be your people, your children. Thank you, Father, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Take our red book and turn to number 207. My hope is built on nothing less. Number 207.
Sway. Oh, remember now your children. renew. Speak to your beloved children, parents of the love of God. Pray with them that peace and pardon in their souls may yet be wrought. Oh, remember now your children, God entrusted them to you.
Beautiful songs that move, and I pray move the heart. It's such songs as those, you know, Solid Rock, and we know what Solid Rock does. It's hard to move. It's hard to get into. And so when we build on that rock, it doesn't wash away quickly. And so I pray all of us today will have done that. And yet I want to go to Psalms 139 as we, you know, enjoying such sweet communion and having our children along and or taking them along. Psalms 139, 23 and 24. David, right at the end of that psalm, he has a question or has a statement for God and says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting." So he's not saying that there is. He just says, "Search me, try me. Get, you know, search, see if there is anything that is wrong within my heart, and that he will know the thoughts of it, of his own." And so for us too, I think it's today, it's I think to search our heart to knowing, are we in the right position or not? You know, I had a reading of some time ago, some time ago, maybe 3 years ago. It was beside the still waters. It was wearing a mask, and is this something that, like, what he's asking here is, am I wearing a mask? Am I wearing something that is not really actually there, or can't be seen? And so it says, the eyes of the Lord is in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Proverbs 15, verse 3. During the COVID-19 pandemic, face masks were required to be worn in many public places in an effort to curb the spread of the dreaded virus. Mask wearing seemed to do some good, but it also obscured people's facial expressions. Sometimes it was hard to discern whether a mask wearer had a smile or a frown, or whether he was happy, glad, or sad. So we can just see by the first part of that is that when somebody wears a mask, you don't really kind of can't tell, is a person smiling? Are they frowning, or is that, are they happy? Are they glad? Or what is going on? Many of the Jewish leaders in Bible times wore masks of religious pretense. They were hypocrites, having an outward show of righteousness and scrupulously following certain external rules. Jesus knew their hearts and said, they were like whitewashed tombs, attractive on the outside, but inwardly full of putrefying corruption. Even so, ye outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Matthew 23:28. We may use a religious veneer as a cloak to conceal some dark secret sins. But we can never hide from God, whose all-seeing eye pierces into the hidden recesses of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked up and upon and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Hebrews 4, verse 13. Though we may deceive others for a time, we will one day stand before the one who is acquainted with all our ways, and everything will be revealed. If we are wearing a mask of deception, we currently need to cast it aside, confess our sins, and walk in honest transparency before the Lord and those around us. Our experience should match the words of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, but we all, with open, unveiled face, beholding as it in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. Let us be revealed, or let us be real, sorry. So we can see that what it is in. And as we look at Job chapter 31, verse 6, it says this, let me be weighed in a even balance, that God may know mine integrity. So being weighed, as it says here, in an even balance, that God may know my integrity. You know, having integrity, knowing that. As he further in Psalms, he talks about in Psalms 26, starting at verse 1, he says this, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. For the loving kindness is before mine eyes. I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord. So we can see that here he starts off with in verse 2, he says, examine me. And examine me is, you know, we were going in college and careers, we're going through this temptations. And temptations are not all evil things that are. Temptations is also where God tempted, and it was not an evil thing. It was to examine that where did he stand, right? Where was he? Was he in faith? Did he have the right faith? So that was to examine was here too. It's to see where it's at. Where is it at with my faith? Where is it at with your faith? Examine, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins, my mind, my heart, to see where is it at. To really know. And I realize for myself, when I went to school, I didn't like tests. I did not like tests. And really, and even today, when I will say that I like an open book test, because I like to look the answers and see, okay, this is what it is. I don't know what you, but some of there is younger people here, and they have no problem putting a test together. But for myself, I never liked tests. And you question yourself sometimes, where do I stand? And so I think it's a good thing, because I see that the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I see that Paul is also telling them they were under a test and they failed. They failed the test. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, when he writes some verses here from, I want to read from 17 to 22. From 17 to 22, he says, now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be division among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When we come together before into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and the other is drunken. What? Have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. So here he talking to the Corinthians. But what does it speak to us about? You know, when we come together, you know, and we want to talk more about, you know, forgiveness and where do we stand? How do I come together? Do I come together every, you know, communion or Sunday or whatever, and still have this burden upon my heart? Or has it been tested for myself, saying, you know, I have forgiven, I have let go? Or, you know, like he said here, you know, he talked about division. You know, having this division, and then seeing that, you know, there's heresies bringing in, you know, doctrine that are not true, or doctrine that they don't want to follow. You know, they just don't, they're dividing people. They're people that just don't. And then he talked also about eating, you know, and drinking, you know, having this overeating when they come together, or being drunken, he talks about, you know. And that just reminds me of that song, the second song we sang, when we are on our way to heaven, where are our children? Where are our children? And then I think about that. I think that more often it's like, you know, if our children aren't in the right place and they aren't, so what are we doing? Are we on our knees in our, you know, vacation houses or our vacation places? Is that what we're doing when our children are on their way to hell and we are on our pleasureness? I think of that often. Because we also have children, we also have grandchildren. We know where, you know, that is, the flesh is very weak. And as we see that here, as we see what Paul is reminding the Corinthians about, saying, look, it is weak. Are we, you know, feeding this weakness? Are we continually just doing these things? You know, I want to go to Matthew. Matthew also, where Jesus talks about it, Matthew chapter 5. And then there he talks about certain things of anger. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21, starting, he says, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time that thou shalt not kill, And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother, you know, here he talks about that, whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave thy gift, therefore, before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled with thy brother, and then come and offer a gift. Offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou shalt be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence until thou hast paid the uttermost. And these are not something that we take lightly. It's not something that we take lightly, that where he's saying, you know, make sure you make things right. Make sure you make things right. Because you can be delivered to the adversary, it says, to the judge, to the officer. You can be put in prison. And then he said, but then you have to pay it all. What Jesus Christ paid, then you have to pay it all. And that's not what he wants. He's teaching here, he's saying that I don't want you to have that. As when we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul is further verse, and I want to skip a few verses there because I want to go back to them later. Whoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Very, very important to know that we do not do this. This is a plea for every Christian saying, look, you have Christ's blood. You have the body, you eat from it. You eat from it. And it's so important that we do not eat it unworthily. He says, further he says, but let a man examine himself, and let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Examine, again, testing yourself. Where do I stand? Do I believe Jesus Christ? Do I have faith in Jesus Christ? Do I have the blood of Christ? Or do I just take it, as I said before, because that's how we do it. We do it twice a year. And twice a year I come to there, and year after year I have the same thing. You know, I go through the emotion. I have this mask on. But you know, further he says, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, again, he says, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep, he says. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, tarry one for another. So let us do that. Because as he says, there's many that actually sleep. Many that have fallen, spiritually have fallen asleep, and they are not worth, they're not having looked at that. So I want to really, you know, these words, take them home, study them. Put them on your heart. As David says, the table of my heart, that's where I put his word that will cleanse me. Psalms 119. Verse 9 to 11, he talks about that. How does a man cleanse himself? You know, we clean, we keep ourselves. There were, in that time, who come to the table of communion and ate bread and drank the cup unworthily. They were not even in the faith. And there was division among the people and also heresies. These ate and drank damnation to themselves. Very serious matter. Sounds like there would be have been not much thought to clean up their life. There's some people that are spiritually asleep. That was then. What about us in this time and period today? What about us? You know, so many times we look at, okay, it was then, but it's not tomorrow. It's today. We don't have tomorrow. We don't know. We need today, and we need to make sure that we do this right, so that you all are clear today. Have your focus right today. And that we are forgiven and that we forgive. That we know how much we are forgiven. Matthew talks about Matthew chapter 6, right after the Lord's Prayer, verse 14 and 15 says, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." How wonderful. How wonderful if we do that. But he says, "But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." How dangerous that is for us not to forgive. I mean, how much can a person do to you that you will not forgive him? How much did Jesus say, you know, okay, that's enough. I won't die for those sins. I haven't died for them because you did too much. There wasn't any of it. Not any. Not from any one of you or anyone in the world today. There's not one. He died for all of them. The reason why there is little or no power in the church to live above sin is exactly that reason. Is exactly that reason. People say they can't live above sin. You know, when we talk about division, you know, just having not that long ago heard from an organization that I get, you know, news from China, from the underground church in China. They're solid. The underground is solid. They can't penetrate. The communists cannot penetrate that church. But you know how they have tried, not what they said, what we know what to do now? The Western church is divided. The Western church is divided. They said, well, you know what? We learned something. We're going to do the same thing. We're going to teach pastors to go in there to make division. To make division. And then we're going to penetrate. You know, that's where we have so much problems, is because we, number one, we're not on the rock. As 1 Corinthians chapter, going back there, chapter 11, verse 18 or 28 says, "But let a man examine himself." 2 Corinthians chapter 13, again, verse 5, it talks about test. Examine yourself, whether you're in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? So we can see, make a test. Where do I stand? Where do you stand? You know, when you, many times when you ask questions, no, people say, no, I forgiven everybody. And then you start asking or talking about certain people or certain situations, and guess what? Then all of a sudden, the temper starts rising, or that's a test to see, where do I stand? What person would I have something? Temptations aren't an evil thing. Temptations will happen. They will happen. But we don't sin right away. We can move away from there. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Abraham, when he had asked to sacrifice his son, he went and did that. He was tested, but he also made a way out. He made a way out. Difficult. For me, I am so glad I don't have to, you know, examine you. Each stand for themselves or judge on judgment day. This day and age, people cannot seem to let go of this world. We seem to have to indulge in the things of this world, please ourselves. While Jesus Christ suffered and did not pay attention to this world, but was there to do the work and to please his Father. Before we go to the second part of the service, let us again go on our knees. Whoever's able, let us pray in the name of Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Take the blue book and turn to page 96, Heaven Came Down. Can we stand?
Amen. from above into God's family divine. Justified fully through Calvary's love, oh, what a standing is mine. And the transaction so quickly was made, when as a sinner I came.
Heaven came down. When we think about that, Jesus Christ came down from heaven, the bread of life, and to fill our heart. Isaiah chapter 53, I want to read a couple of verses there before we go further. Isaiah 53, and here Jesus Christ, it speaks of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross for us to heal us. Starting at verse 1, who has believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised. We esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb. So he opened not his mouth thus far. He was the took the punishment for us. And when it talks about verse 7 there, as a lamb to the slaughter, and to some may say, well, that's, why would he not open his mouth? And yet, when you take a lamb, and when you slaughter it, it does not open its mouth. It does not make sound. It does not jump around like almost every other thing. You can slaughter it without having any fuss. And it's what it says here that's true. I found out. What is communion? What is communion? We wouldn't have communion other than with what I just read. And when we go to Matthew chapter 26, and I want to read a few verses there. Matthew chapter 26. Starting at verse 26 to 30. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. So this was his body, the bread from heaven. And he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. When they had sung us hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. So here we can see that blood, this was before he went to the cross. And the blood would be the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And so, and then when we turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, this is where Paul speaks about it after Jesus had gone already to heaven. And here he says, in verse 23, starting again, he says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you. Salvation, he had received it already. That he says, and that in the night that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Again, 24 and 25 at the end says the same thing. As you eat the bread, remember him. Remember Jesus. And that's also when you drink it, then you remember Jesus when you drink the cup. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do shew the Lord's death until he come. So we show what the Lord has done for us. He has died on the cross for us so that we could be forgiven of our sins. In John chapter 13, I won't read all of it, but there it talks about the first 20 verses. It talks about how he came and he even washed feet. Humility, humbleness, and what it takes to a disciple, as the master, Jesus Christ himself, he would humble himself to wash the feet of people. And also what our duty is to do the same, to humble ourselves to do is to wash feet. We say, well, not literally. Well, maybe sometimes it is literally. Sometimes maybe it's just say, well, I have to humble myself, even though as Judas Iscariot, also he washed the feet of Judas, the one that would kill him. So too often we think, well, it's just somebody that I love or somebody that is, no. It means also to someone that maybe they don't like you. They have intentions to do harm to you, but you do them well. You humble yourself under that, as Jesus Christ did. So what has Jesus done for you? Do you believe that? I mean, and again, I ask these questions directly saying, really believe that? That he has died for you? Can you really say with Paul in Galatians chapter 2, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Can we say that today? That I am crucified with Christ. It's not I live, but Christ that lives in me. So do we practice this every day? Is it shown? Is it seen by the community? Is it seen by the people around us? Are you going to come to communion, those that are coming this year? Are you going to come to the communion table this year with a changed heart? With the attitude that I forgave everyone? I can practice what Jesus taught us in Matthew 18. Peter asked a question, so 7 times 7, that I should forgive someone? Jesus says, no, but 70 times 7. 390. 390 times that we forgive. Not just maybe a day. 70 times 7. Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. He gave two commandments here. Mark chapter 12, verse 30 and 31 says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. And this is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. So we can see here, loving God, loving our neighbor. And I have a reading that I want to do here. And some of you have read it. Some of you will have heard it. But it comes out of our Mennonite history book. Mennonite history book. The following is from Bishop Dirksen. Family tree of Abraham and Regina, Hepner Dirksen, and descendants, 1804 to 1960. The genealogy was published in 1960 and printed by Western Printers Associated Limited, Regina, Saskatchewan. The expert reads as follows. The narrative of the dream had been in Bishop Abram Bergson's handwriting and placed in a book where it was found after his death. Since the image of the changer, of the stranger in the form of a chemist seems somewhat uncharacteristic for a person with a formal education limited to that of the Berchtel school in Russia, one could assume that the illustration, the illustrative anecdote possibly had been based on some form of piastic writing, other than that the Bishop Dirksen, although the message conveyed would seem to fit his own outlook on life quite accurately. It reads as follows. I was sitting in my armchair, tired and exhausted from my work, under more than usual strain. Many in my congregation were in quest of precious pearl. Some had already found it. My congregation was in very respect a growing one. I faced the future with joy, hope, and courage. As far as I was concerned, I derived much pleasure and satisfaction from my work. Among my brethren prevailed a spirit of unity, and my sermons had left their impressions. My church was always filled with the entire parish was more or less active. Due to the increasing rate and tempo of my work, I had permitted myself to persevere in the face of utter exhaustion at times. When I was thus remissing in pondering circumstances, I was involuntarily overcome by sleep. But I believed to be actually living and seeing everything that I wish to relate. A stranger entered my room without first knocking on the door. Profound understanding, gentleness, and character were the expressions on his face. He was well-dressed and carried a quantity of chemical apparatus, which he placed. The stranger came forward and in proffering his hand, he asked, "How is the state of the endeavor?" I thought he was inquiring about my health, and I was quite happy when I caught the last word of his question. I was satisfied with my endeavor and did not hesitate to assume that this stranger would find his delight in me. It just seemed I could prove my endeavor by his handshake. As I hauled out a compact mask from my bosom, he took it and weighed it carefully on his scale, and it weighed 100 pounds. I was barely able to conceal an expression of elation at this result. After making a due notation of this fact, and with serious expression, he prepared for a closer examination of the 100 pounds. He broke the substance into particles and into crucial over the fire. Crucible over the fire. After melting, he set it aside for cooling. In the cooling process, it divided itself into different layers, which afterwards were easily separated from each other. And when he touched them with his hammer, he then proceeded to weigh each layer separately. And marked the weight of them on a piece of paper, which he handed to me with an exceeding sympathetic gaze, exceedingly sympathetic gaze, and said, "May God deliver you." And he left the room. On the paper was the following: the endeavors of NNN and applicant for the crown of glory, weight of mass, 100 pounds, results after exact analyst. Fanaticism, express or irrational enthusiasm or zeal, 10 pounds. Personal private ambition, 23 pounds. Love for monetary gain, 19 pounds. Conceit, arrogance in his own church, pride of his personal leadership of the church was 15 pounds. Superiority complex, pride in his own and his own gifts or talents, 14 pounds. Love of power, 12 pounds. Love of God, 4 pounds. Love of mankind, 3 pounds. If it were disturbing by the peculiar nature of the glance that this stranger cast at me in parting, I was now utterly dejected and cast down to look at the result of his examination on the paper. I now attempted to combat the accuracy of the figures themselves, but was abruptly led to more realistic reflections by an audible groan of the stranger who had meanwhile made his way into an adjoining hallway. Though the darkness which had settled over me, because of which I could no longer read the paper in my hand, I cried out, "O Lord, save me," and I knelt down at my chair with my eyes still upon the paper. Suddenly, it transformed itself into a mirror. And my heart bare itself as it really was. I could see, feel, and realize everything. With many tears, I begged the Lord to deliver me from my own ego, and finally awoke with a loud cry of terror. In earlier years, I had prayed to be saved from hell, but now arose the necessity to be saved from my self-ego. Nor did I find peace until the melting pot had come to search and bear my innermost soul and everything and its proper light, such light as has remained in my heart to this day. When the tears of tribulations of my pilgrimage finally draw to a close, I shall cast myself at the feet of my Savior in heaven and thank him for the revelation to that day through which he showed me how I, that day, brought a decision to, showed me how I stood. My walk, shall I be to the better, but hard and narrow path. That day brought decision, a decision in my life. And that day of revelation will clarify the extent to which is this visit by him who searches the hearts, has served in consideration of all my labors. When I started off with Psalms 139, search me, O God. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. I pray that as you heard the message today and message even in this dream, that will bring a searching for us in our hearts. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for that tree of life. And Jesus, that the garden was locked up, but today it's open again, the tree of life, the bread from heaven, the blood that spilled on the cross. But Lord, we pray that today will have been a day of searching, and will be a day of searching, and continue time, Lord. We may not all have the dreams as this, as clear as this. But Lord, show us in our mirror, or show us in the mirror of you. Who are we? Who are we? Are we the ones that we say we are? Are we in you, Jesus, or are we in ourselves? As this gentleman was before he was saved by from his own ego. We thank you for his salvation. We pray that all of us will also have the same search today. As before we come to communion, or before we even leave this building today, help us, Lord. Grant us the strength. Grant us the Holy Spirit that we can be searched, know our hearts. Thank you, Father, for loving us so much, for bringing us this, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We may not, we don't have to pray here. We can pray anywhere, morning or evening, if need be, day and night. Before we, whoever's able, let us pray. Go on our knees, pray in the name of Jesus. May the Lord bless the prayers that have been prayed. Amen.
Let's take our blue books and turn to number 64, Springs of Living Water. Number 64.
Good morning. Thank you, Brother Jake, for the message this morning. Thank you, pianists and song leaders, for leading us in song this morning. Just a few short announcements. A reminder that next Sunday there is a potluck lunch here after the second service, and just to bring a meal to share. And just to note, on your calendars, there's communion dates coming up. November 3rd, the German communion will be at 9 a.m., and the English communion service will be at 11 a.m. And also, there's a fundraiser being planned for October 26th that is here in the church dining hall, and that is October 26th at 4:30, going on till 7 p.m. And it's barbecue, chicken, rice, and beans. This is a fundraiser that is going to help Anna Fair for her back surgery. And as the weeks go on, the days and weeks go on, let's just keep people in our prayers, like Jake and Chris Clausen and the family, Jacob and Helena Bueller. And then there's supposed to be a election in Seminole, Zummerfeld Church. Let's keep them all in the prayers. And thank you for coming this morning. Have a blessed Sunday.
Thank you, Brother Henry, for the announcements. And yes, also thank you for you all coming. Thank you for song leaders, and thank you for the player. That's beautiful. Songs, I appreciate singing, and And so the last song too, happy am I, you know, having being satisfied and that other people see it and that we talk to them about it. Show them who did it for us or who came in. And so peace, he says, Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, but not as the world does. So let it be in you. And so I will not bring you anything anymore, except I want to thank you for coming, and I just want to share the benediction with you yet. Let us bow. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. The Lord preserve thy going out and coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. You may go in the peace of the Lord. Remember that Jesus loves you.